Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 14 says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he should grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you would just guide us through this time. I pray that you will speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, you would change our hearts and that you would set our lives in the proper direction, Lord, that we might reach that desired haven of yours, Lord, that which you have called us to. And I just ask, Father, you would just help us to listen, help us to perceive, help us, Lord, that as we look into your word, we might be transformed. And Lord, most of all, help us to put it into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we looked at this prayer, and we talked about the fact that, you know, we all have prayers that we throw out 1,000 times a day. But at the end of the day, there's some things that God says no to. There's some things that God says later to. There's some things that God says yes to. And there's some things that God is really excited about giving us. And we looked at the fact that here is one of those things that he's really excited about doing in us. He wants us to grow, to be strengthened in the inner man, that we might be rooted and grounded in love. Not so much that we will be rooted and grounded in God's love, because the Ephesians have already been explained that in chapter 1 and 2, but more that as we know the love of God, that we ourselves, our very lives, will be rooted and grounded in love. In other words, that we would be loving beings. That we would be the foundation, that the roots of our life would be love. Last week, we looked at the fact that it is actually, according to the New Testament teaching, it is love and not knowledge that makes strong Christians. It is love and not knowledge that makes strong Christians. We also looked at the fact that love alone is the true strength, the real power of the Christian life to work and labor in the Christian life. You know, what's really going to energize someone is love. And we looked at the fact that whenever you love to do something, time flies. Whenever you love to do something, you have so much energy. Hey, we're going to go on holiday for 2 weeks. We're going to go to work for 2 weeks. I'm so tired today. You know, it's just like, it's just love energizes. Love is the only motive for work and activity in the Christian life. One day we will stand before Jesus and our works will be are tested through fire. Not that we're going to be burned, our works will be tested through fire. You know, when you take gold to be tested, they either have liquids or they burn it, and the dross goes to the top and the gold stays. It's tested. What is the quality work? And at the end of the day, the quality of our work is going to be the motivation. Why it is that we did what we did all those years. Why did I go to church? Tradition? Or was it like Keith Green said, I'm just bananas for Jesus. Why did I share the gospel with people? Why did I have an interest in doctrine? Was it love? Or was it just mere curiosity? And then finally, we looked at there's no ultimate value in all our work, in all our activity, unless it is rooted and grounded in love. And today, instead of looking at the rooted, what I would like to look at is the grounded. At first, it might seem like it's the same thing, but it really isn't the same thing. Rooted brings out life, i.e. motivation, energy, it brings strength, i.e. the strength of the Christian life. But when we talk about grounded, we're talking about foundations. We're talking about stability and no life necessarily, but just solid. And you know what? We run into Christians often who are concerned about experiences. They're concerned about just having one more encounter with God, or maybe to have some particular gift, or maybe to see another sign. You know, and sometimes you just see Christians caught up in pursuing spiritual gifts. And when it comes to love, we are left with mere desire. And it's funny that the Bible actually switches them around. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, desire spiritual gifts, but pursue love. And some are just so concerned about the heights and not really concerned about laying a foundation, a lasting foundation as Christians for their life. Here in Mallorca, when you go to buy a house, it's very, very important that you check out the soil you're going to build on. And it's very important that the foundation is solid. I went to look at a house with a friend, with Kuno, that they were considering about buying. This family had moved in with all the great desire in the world. They moved in, and after a year, the house split in half. There was cracks like this all through the house, split. What happened is they built the house on two shifting plates. So as one was moving this way, the other one was moving that way, the house just split. Crazy, huh? We love shortcuts. Let's do things quick. There's a kebab place that Bart told us about in Calamayor. It's really good, but actually, Anwar just showed me a really, really good one in Palma. But anyway, this one in Calamayor, when you go in, you sit down and you just think, man, this place is just beautiful. It's just gorgeous. And you think, man, solid rocks on the walls, you know, and wooden beams that go across. And you just think, man, if I build my house, I will build it like this. And you get your kebab and you get your Coke and you lean and you go... You realize it's plastic. It's just made to look quality. And Jesus said, the wise man is he that when he builds his house, he digs deep. He takes time to build a foundation. And I'll tell you what, as a pastor, I am tired of seeing shipwrecked lives. You know, at times you sort of have to detach yourself from stuff because you just think to yourself, man, people are not taking the time to build a foundation with the Lord. They just want to rush forward, have some experience, or maybe read one verse, but rather than saying, no, I need to dig deep. And this is why whenever somebody becomes a Christian, I'm not so keen on putting them straight to work. I'm not so keen on someone becoming a Christian and going, okay, now you're going to serve in the ministry. I love people just sitting, learning, getting involved a little bit, because at the end of the day, they need to lay a foundation for their lives. They need to know in whom they believe, why they believe, and make sure that the foundation is firm and solid rather than rushing forward and then feeling used, abused, discouraged. And they say, well, this whole Christianity is not true. Well, the reason you think it's not true is because you rushed forward. If you would have waited and got grounded, when you get disillusioned with people, you would realize that people are people and you need to love people that fail you. You know, people don't take time to lay foundations. And whenever people fail you, you realize that you get the question back, why are you doing it? Are you doing it for people? Or are you doing it for Jesus? And this is stuff that you need to be grounded in. That's why I'm so keen when people come to church. I'm not keen on putting them to work right away. Just sit, learn, grow. And as soon as the Lord begins to move upon your heart, not out of legalism, but out of love, man, just serve. But the need to go deep, to be careful. You know, the Empire State Building is 98 floors high, I think it is. I think. Somebody knows, correct me exactly. But it's about 30-something floors deep. Have you ever thought about that? That in order to build that huge thing, they couldn't just go from the flat up. They had to dig deep. And they have floors there. I mean, just one floor, elevators, they go 30 floors down. That's crazy to me. But the Christian life should be like that. Should be a solid foundation. And notice that Paul says that that solid foundation should be love. There are no shortcuts. We love shortcuts. I hate working with construction workers that love shortcuts. I have somebody find a leak once in one of my walls and say, well, let's cover it up. What? You leave and I'll have to fix this. I don't want to take a shortcut when it comes to building my house. Maybe I want to take a shortcut when building somebody else's house. But with my house, I want to make sure I do it the right way. You know, and you should have seen me. They just changed the pipings in our house. I was there taking pictures. And I could see when they were taking shortcuts. I went, no. And I hate to argue with people. I'm like, and I'm apologizing. And at the end of the day, he says, you're paying. I said, I know, but I feel bad. But look, I don't want it done this way. Redo it, please. And I hate doing that. But at the end of the day, I want to live with those pipes for another 50 years. I had to lift up the whole kitchen floor. In the Christian life, people try to take shortcuts. There are no shortcuts to the Christian life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there are no shortcuts. But you know what? The fruit of walking with Jesus without shortcuts is permanent, forever, lasting. So, love needs to be our foundation. Now, so that means that relationships in our lives must be based upon love. All the relationships in our life must be based upon love. And we're going to go through them. It's very simple. This study has... Well, I'm not going to give them away. I'll just go one by one. Three relationships we have to maintain. They have to be based on love. Number one, if you're going to dig deep and build a solid foundation on love, the first relationship that has to be based upon love is your relationship to God. What is your greatest... what is your relationship with God based on? What is the depth of your relationship with God? I think it was Lloyd-Jones that said, you are whatever you are when you are alone with God. You are whatever you are when you are alone with God. And if he didn't say it, I just made up a quote. That was great. That's a good one. But the reality is that what is your relationship to God like? Is it legal? Is it imaginary? Have you imagined the God that you talk to and you imagine the responses that he gives you? Is it legal that he if you do these things, he will be good to you, but if you are a bad boy, then he hates you? What is your relationship to God like based on? What's your prayer life like? What's your worship time like? Is it one of like, well, here we go. Got to sing a couple songs. I hope I like them. Or is it, sorry, I'm not meaning to be funny, but with that one, but is it really just that you just, I mean, is it that those songs express what you don't know how to utter sometimes or how to express yourself? So it helps you to express what you're feeling on the inside. What's your relationship to God based on? Is it theoretical? Is it intellectual? What is your habitual attitude toward God? Mark 12:30, Jesus said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything. And you must ask yourself, do I love God? Do I know him? And please understand, in order to love him, you must know him. You cannot just love. I mean, of course, you could love someone as creator without knowing him. But that's not what I'm talking about. The Christian life is much deeper than that. You know him. And you know what? I married Loretta out of love. I mean, I loved her. But I only knew a little bit about her. And my love for Loretta grows deeper through the years because I know her. I get to know what she likes, what she doesn't like. If you don't know God and you say you love him, I mean, I think you're imagining a God. And we shouldn't be imagining. We go to the Word of God to get to know God, and we love God. Why? Because he first loved us. And unless we understand that, we cannot reciprocate that love. Some people fear God. There's a fear. Don't get me wrong. There should be a respect. There should be a trembling at the presence of God as such. But there is an element where in 1 John it says, perfect love casts out fear. As we get to know the Lord, that the fear in our begins to go away, the adoption begins to take. We begin to realize that, and you know, our relationship to God should be one of love. Is it legal for you? Do you feel like you're just a servant, a slave? You know, and you just think about a CEO working in a company, and all of a sudden one of the receptionists comes and goes to the CEO and says, "Hey, I would like to talk to you for about 5 minutes about possibly getting a raise." The CEO will say, "Will you please go through the next person in charge, the chain of command or whatever?" Or in the military, if you go up to the general, the five-star general, and you say, "Oh, you know, I'm sorry, I'm a E1, which is the lowest, and I would like a raise." They're like, what are you talking to me for? Go to your subordinates? No, to your superior. Go to your next in command, you know? Go to your superior. But that five-star general or that CEO, that same person, if all of a sudden a little child knocks in the door on the door and says, "Daddy, Daddy," that five-star general CEO will say, "Hey, come here, Sonny." And he sits him on his lap and he loves on that child because it's his son. Do you realize that as Christians, we're not slaves? We are children of the living God. What is your relationship to God like? Doesn't mean that we're not bond servants. Don't get me wrong, but we must realize before we're bond servants, we are children of God. And I hope, you know, and particularly some of us that come from legalistic backgrounds, you know, we can kind of be so rough, depressed even. Can't even get away from some of the rules that have been put upon us. But I think that Christian life should be one of laying down at night and just with a disposition towards heaven of just pure, utter love at the kindness of God, the mercy of God, the justice of God, the fact that he will judge one day. There should be a love of saying, "Man, I love you, Lord." The sacrifice of the Lord. There should be an intimate love within us toward God. And like Wilberforce did in the movie Amazing Grace, where he lays down on the grass and he just looks to heaven with a smile. I love that scene. I don't know if he ever did that in his real life, but to me, just to be able to have that disposition to realize, "Man, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine." It's love. As a Christian, have you rushed forward? And what you do is just tradition, it's just jealousy, it's just competition, it's just legalism, or do you really, your relationship is based on love? Don't get me wrong, not perfect love. We're going to grow, you know, from month to month, from year to year. We all grow. But we should not rush forward. We should make sure that our relationship to God is one of love. Number two, in turn, every other relationship should be based on love. Again, first, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So then all your relationships around you should be based upon love. Same thing. Obviously not the same because God is perfect. He's easy to love to me. I mean, but we can do this. We can become great monastery people. We monks, you know, we could all be nuns and monks in some ways. "Oh Lord, I love you so much. You're so wonderful." But those people, you know what I mean? It's like, "Those people, I don't like them." And we can be so hard, I mean, so soft, or how wonderful our relationship, how much we love God. But the Bible is very clear about this. If you say you love God and you hate your brother, you lie. And this is one of these things that we can deceive ourselves in. We can deceive ourselves into thinking we have this incredible relationship with God, where in reality, we are lying to ourselves because we're bitter. And one of the worst things, it's to me, it's bad if you think you can lie to God or if you think you can lie to people. But when you end up believing your own lies, that's the worst to me. And in the Christian life, you need to base relationships in your life upon love. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. You've heard it. Love your enemies. Bless them who curse you. The things we say about people or to people sometimes shock me. And I say we because I'm guilty of it as well. We should build relationships around us on love. We should be patient with one another. We should be trusting one another, free to speak into people's lives. There should be a foundation where we have no ill will towards anyone. Even though, I mean, we might have to say some tough things to the people, even though we might not yield to the things that they want us to do, I think it is a big difference between that and having ill will, where you actually, there's malice, you want to do harm to people. I think that is has no place in the Christian life. And you know what? One of the biggest deceptions that I've seen in people is that everybody thinks that they are loving people. Everybody seems to think that they're just a great, loving person. And as a matter of fact, it says this in the Bible, in Proverbs, it says, each man proclaims his own love, but a faithful man who can find. You know, people just like to say just how loving they are. And I'm like that, you know, just like, oh man, I just... I remember before I was a Christian, I thought I was the greatest guy in the world. I thought I was the most loving person in the world. And I woke up as a Christian, and quite honestly, I'm not exaggerating, I realized I'm one of the worst people I've ever met in my life. And just the sheer selfishness that was in my life. I was not being loving because I was just being selfish. And you know what? To me, it is an astonishing thing, as Christians, how many relationships, shipwrecked relationships there are. It seems like people can't keep relationships. They're just, everyone's angry with them. They're angry with everybody. And it's just crazy, just relationships in shambles. Because there's just simply no love. As a pastor, I've probably experienced a bit more of that than I thought I would. You know, I really thought as a pastor it would be this like this. I open the Bible and people begin to rip their clothes off, you know, and say, I'm so sorry, I've sinned. Their shirts, you know, how they sorry, I mean, if that sounded bad, I didn't mean it like that. I just meant that people realize, like in the Bible, they would rip their shirts when they realized their sins, and they cast ashes, and then they would become the most loving people in the world, and they say, "Oh, Raph, you've saved our life, and we are Christians now, and we love you forever." And I realized, man, it isn't like that. I mean, pastoring is not easy. I mean, when you know, you got a church that a bunch of people think church should be in every one of their ways. And then you got people who think that anything goes. People can do whatever they want. And then you find yourself maybe, you know, people say, oh, you're so wonderful, Raph. We love you as a pastor. You're just so great. Oh, really? Okay. Well, could you know, there's this thing in your life. Let me show you what the Bible says. And all of a sudden, they hate you. You know, and you're just like, what did I do? I'm still Raph. I'm still the pastor, you know. And it's just crazy to me how people proclaim their own love. And then you say something. And it's just they become your enemies. And I think that's crazy. As a pastor, I can see... How can I say? I don't want to say this the wrong way because I don't want you to think that I feel like this all the time. But sometimes I can see how people could be doing better, growing as such. But I believe in leaving space. You know, I think that people need to have space to grow and make and learn their own way. And little every once in a while say something here or say something there, but leave space for people to grow on their own. I think with kids, we can't be on top of them all the time. They need to grow, develop. They need to develop on their own to some degree. And you know, I find myself trying to be patient. Sometimes I'm not loving and I lose patience. But all of a sudden, somebody comes and just reels at me, man. It's just crazy. It's like they'll come and it's like, well, you used that word, or you didn't call me that one day, or you didn't say hello to me. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. And sometimes you feel like you have to walk around with people that are touchy. Say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And all of a sudden, you become paranoid as if maybe... You know, you begin to say sorry even though nothing's happened yet. You know, just like, I've gone through a stage of paranoia because of the fact that sometimes you just feel like people are just so hard. We can be so hard on one another rather than love one another. And here Paul is saying, man, if there's any prayer request that I would have for the Ephesian church, guys, what I want to pray for you guys is that if there's anything, is that you will be strengthened in the inner man. It's going to take God's power to love, but that you will be rooted and that you will be grounded in love. We're not here to attack people. We're not here to destroy people. The ministry we receive, the gifts that we receive are for one another, for the edification of one another, not for selfish ends. And the Bible says this, let each not look out for his own interest in Philippians 2:4. Let not each one look for his own interest. If Brenda's looking for her interest, and Marlene is looking for her interest, and Andrew's looking for his interest, and Billy's looking for his interest, you know what you have? You have war. The Bible says, why do you have wars among you? Why? Because you want. You want and you do not have. And then you fight for it. But if you have people that are actually looking out for one another, that are taking the interest of Jesus Christ as first and foremost, then you're laying a foundation. And what are your relationships with people with? What are your relationships to your children with? To your wife, husband, like? What are they based on? Is it convenience? Is it self-interest? To the people at the church, who do you talk to when you talk to people at church? Do you talk to people that might be advantageous to you? Or do you talk to people? Who do you socialize with outside of the church? And if we're going to build a firm foundation, it has to be love. Number three, our relationship to God's commandments must be one of love. I would even go further. Our relationship to the Word of God must be one of love. So we tackled God, relationships, but the commandments. Do you love the Lord's commandments? David, King David, was said to be a man after God's own heart. And look what he said, Psalm 119:97 and 127. How I love your law. I love your commandments above gold. Great peace have they who love your law. This is the love of God. That we keep His commandments, New Testament. His commandments are not grievous, 1 John 5:3. And you know, we might in our hearts say, "Oh, I want to know. I want greater experiences with God." Or maybe you find yourself saying, "I don't feel Him like I would like to feel Him, or I don't sense His presence." I tell you what, I have sensed His presence most when, in spite of my feelings, I have obeyed what He asked me to do. I remember once, man, there was a guy in the hospital who hated me. I don't know how he feels about me now, but he hated me then. And he would have done anything to ruin my life. And I remember the Lord speaking to my life and saying, "Wrath." Oh, actually, the guy called me by mistake and said, "I'm in the hospital room such and such, if you're up for a coffee." And I'm like, "What?" And I'm like, "I don't want to go. I don't trust the guy. I don't want to go." And that was, in a sense, I sensed the Lord saying to my heart, "You've got to go. I'm asking you to go." And it was in connection with walking in love. Love your enemies. It was a direct verse with sort of like a direct push into that verse. And I remember driving all the way there and thinking, Lord, I don't trust this guy. I don't want to go see him. And I went there. And as soon as I got there, he's like, "What are you doing here?" I said, "You texted me." He got the R's mixed up on the phone. He texted the wrong person. And there I was. He says, "You are a disgrace. I don't want to see you. Get out of here." Talk about some humble pie right there. Like, I could have retaliated, man. I could have just gone off. You know what? I just walked away. But I thought, wow. But you know what? I was so happy. That was one of probably the most joyous moments of my life. You know why? Because I could have said no. And I said yes to Jesus. And I went and I walked away. It's like I didn't want to see him because I was afraid of that he might want to build a relationship for that matter, because I knew he wanted to do me harm, you know. But when I walked away, I was so happy that I had gone that extra mile with the Lord. If we begin to take away commandments from the Lord, oh, you know what? And I'm going to say it again. Commandments. Just submitting to government, having dominion over our tongues, adultery, fornication, alcohol, drunkenness, idolatry, covetousness. If we just begin to say, homosexuality for that matter. I mean, if we just begin to sort of say, well these things are just all right. The Bible's too narrow. We need to be honest with ourselves. Either we take the Bible or we don't take the Bible. And if we begin to say, well, it's just too narrow, if you don't love the Word of God, you're not going to experience more of God. Does it make sense? As you obey as a matter of fact, Jesus said this. Jesus says, if you obey my word, you will know that my teaching is from God. Not if you like it. Not if you're touched by it. Not if you admire it. If you obey my word, you will know that my teaching is from God. And there's something about walking in obedience. By loving the word of God, that just brings assurance, brings conviction, brings just a greater love. And you know what? If God's commandments are too narrow for you, you will not experience God like you could. It says this, "You that love the Lord, hate evil." You that love the Lord, hate evil. And the whole of the Bible is to be listened to. The whole of my opinion is to be yielded. The whole of my will is to be given over to the Word of God. Quite honestly, I'm embarrassed to say it sometimes. I shouldn't be embarrassed. I'm just going to tell you plain and simple. I'm embarrassed to say it sometimes because I meet people sometimes and they're like, oh, you're a Christian? And like, yeah. And then like, well, what's your opinion about this? And what's your opinion about that? And you know what I tell? I mean, I'm embarrassed to say it, but I say it because it's the truth. I don't have an opinion anymore. Jesus is my opinion. And if he said it, I agree with it. And if he's against it, then I'm against it. I belong to him. I don't have the authority. And it's embarrassing. It's humiliating because people think that you've allowed Jesus to brainwash you. But in reality, that's what's happened. We believe that he knows best. It's like with a, you know, I mean, we live nowadays where we go to a doctor and he tells us something and we don't believe him. So therefore, we go for a second opinion and we go for a third and we sort of keep our mind. And I'm not going against what Mark was saying about reason. We still have our minds, but listen to this. There was one guy talking to Chuck Smith on the radio, and the guy said to Pastor Chuck, there's two Isaiahs that wrote the book of Isaiah. And Pastor Chuck said, it's interesting that you say that there's two Isaiahs because Jesus didn't seem to think so because he quotes from both parts of Isaiah, and he only says the prophet Isaiah. And then the guy went on to say on live radio, well, Jesus didn't have the understanding that we have. And at that point, Chuck hung up. So Chuck's friend, it says, I'm sorry, you got cut off the line. And he says, I didn't get cut off the radio. I hung up. And he said, why? And he says, how in the world do you argue with someone who thinks they're smarter than Jesus? Do you see what I mean? When we come to Jesus, we come and we confess that he is Lord. He is Kurion. He is the absolute ruler. Philosophy has failed. Jesus is revealed truth. He knows. So therefore, the Christian, if he wants to build a firm foundation, says, I love your commandments. I love the truth. Does it make sense? And you know what? It's disheartening sometimes when you talk to Christians, out of all people, Christians, and they say, well, I agree with that portion of the Bible, but not that portion of the Bible. Then I think like, man, you've made yourself God. You can decide. And we should be people, and this is the kind of people we should be. We should be people that love the Word of God, but also tremble at the Word of God. The whole of my will, my opinion. And you know, I realize that sometimes some of you guys, a lot of us, in many ways, and some more blatantly than others, are in situations in our life that directly contradict the scriptures. You're in situations that directly contradict the scriptures, and you sit here, and it's fine. I'm fine with you sitting here. I'd rather have you nowhere else than here. You know, so you can hear it, so you can learn. But I think it's a dangerous place to be when we sit here and we just have our lifestyles and it's like, oh, I'm going to change all that stuff, but I don't agree with that part of the Bible and I'm just going to leave it that way. And I think that's terrible. I mean, I understand that we might find ourselves that our lives are contradictory in the scriptures in one way or another. But that what there should be in our life as we're growing is saying, man, I love the Lord and I want this to change. I want to change because I love the Lord. And I want Him to speak into my life and change me. Now, there is a danger between legalism and laxity. You know, so he who loves the commandments can become legal. There's a danger of legalism and there's a danger of laxity. And we should avoid both of them like the plague. In other words, we should not be legal where we think God likes us better if we don't do certain things. We should not be legal where we are so proud of what we're doing and other people are not doing it. We should not be lax where we think like, oh man, isn't it wonderful? We can all do whatever we want and live however we want. It doesn't matter what God says. We should not have either of those extremes. There should be an element where there's not legal, there's because we love God, we love people, we love the Word of God. We want to live in a particular way. Oh Lord Jesus, help me to be just like you, to love. And last, our relationship to God should be based on a foundation of love, the relationship to people, relationship to His commandments. But lastly, and probably in connection, just as well that is last because it's super important, it should be lasting. A foundation speaks about a lasting something. You know what I mean? Something that's going to be there forever or for a long time on earth anyway. That when the wind and the storms come and nothing shakes it. And you might think to yourself, what? Our love must not be fitful. It must not be variable, but solid on a foundation that never shakes and never moves. And you know how this is. You sit at church. We sit at church and we sing a song and we say, I love you, Lord. And we get a moment where a little tear even comes down and we just think, oh man, I just love the Lord. And then all of a sudden we walk out and we forgot everything. Or we get moved. We go to a conference and we listen at the conference and we think to ourselves, man, wasn't that a good conference? Yeah. Oh, man, I really got to make some changes. And a week goes by and nothing's changed. And then it's just kind of like, it should not be fitful. It should be a love that is steady, a foundation that remains. Our love is to be like God's love. And think about it. Think about the mess that sometimes we find ourselves in. Let me say this. Sometimes we're in a mess because it's our own fault. We made bad decisions and we need to own up to it. We need to just be able to say, well, you know, I blew it, and we cannot say, why is God allowing this thing? God is not allowing anything. You did that. And we need to be able to say that honestly with ourselves. But let me say this. Other times, there are difficulties that have nothing to do. And hold on, let me even go back. Even if we made a mess, we can cry out to God, and He'll help us. But sometimes we're in circumstances where we have nothing to do. We it's just circumstances that have come upon us, or things that haven't that we desire that we didn't get, or things just stuff, just circumstances beyond our control. How many people have you met that have dumped their relationship to God or changed their relationship to God because some bad thing happened in their life? Something bad happens and says, well, if God allowed this thing to happen, then there's no God. And then they cry out to God, God, if you're there, help me. And you're just like, what's going on? And they think, and we can think, that we're putting God to the, like we're testing God or we're putting God to this, but in reality, it's us. It shows the superficiality of our relationship to the Lord. If our relationship to God is based on love, we might wrestle with it, but remember what Job said, though he slay me, still I will trust him. There's an element, like Britt Merrick is a pastor in Reality Carpinteria. And he has, I don't know how old his daughter is. She must be about 7, 8 now. She was found with a tumor the size of a football inside of her stomach. She passed out in school. They didn't know what happened. They took her out. She's been through several surgeries, chemotherapy. And I'll never forget the day that she was diagnosed with cancer. He went up to the pulpit the very next day and he says, "I told the Lord, whatever happens with my little daughter, between you and me, nothing changes. Between you and me, nothing changes." And our love should not be fitful. It should be growing into a deep-rooted and deeply grounded love. That no matter what comes our way, and things will come our way, we love them. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It wasn't fitful. It was well planned, and He did it. Even Shakespeare understands a little bit of this love. He said, and I know you're shocked at me quoting Shakespeare, but nevertheless, here goes. "Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, nor bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempest and is never shaken." Erotic love changes, you know. Oh, I love you so much. And then there's a relationship, there's sex, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't love you. True love doesn't change. It remains. There's a point in Kala Rajada. I'm going long today, but it doesn't matter. It's worth it. There's a, in Kala Rajada, Kalaguya is a beach, two beaches, and it's got a point that goes out about 6-7 meters. High, or maybe a little bit higher. As a kid, that's where I learned to jump off rocks, and I love going there, particularly when there's large waves. I go there, and I give where the waves are coming, you know, and they just splash, and they come over. And I just love to sit on that rock and just watch the waves just slam, and the wind slam, and just think, this rock ain't moving. You know, and in a sense, that's what it should be in our life. Just now, Sandy, the hurricane that hit New York, I mean, it devastated houses and houses and houses. One place, I think over 100 houses burned down. And the Empire State Building, it just stood there and took it all. You know, just, I can just see, if I was the Empire State Building, you say, "Come on, Sandy." You know what I mean? But it was firm. It was steadfast. There should be that in our life with God, with people, with His commandments. We shouldn't change our attitude to His commandments because things change in our life. Can your foundation, of love change with the changing of people? Can it stand with the changes of circumstances? And if you're anything like me, you just think to yourself, boy, no wonder Paul prayed that we will be strengthened in the inner man. Because we're so weak. And I feel like such a baby. I mean, there's relationships in my life that are a bit of a mess. I mean, with my dad, when I first became a Christian, it was a bit of a mess. I had to make that, establish it, you know. There was relationships with my family on the other side, which were a little bit of a mess. Made those right, you know. There's sometimes people are just upset with you. What are you going to do? I mean, you can only do so much. But there are relations. You know what I mean? We need to grow in love. And you know what's crazy? And I'm going to close with this. You know what's the craziest to me in this passage? Is that it was written. Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. And you know what? I said something before in the past that I think I was just wrong. Because you say, if you ask that, then God will do it. Because after all, it's written in it. But you know what? There's something about God answers something, but there's a human responsibility, isn't there? There's a human responsibility of us cultivating love, loving relationships to God, to people, and to His commandments. And you know what I was astonished at? How many letters were written to Ephesians? Do you guys know? How many Ephesian letters are there? How many? No. How many biblical ones? There's four. There's Ephesians. There's 1 and 2 Timothy. Timothy was in Ephesus, so you could say that was written to them. But then there's one, as if Paul wasn't enough. Jesus says, and to the church of Ephesus I write. And I'm astonished that he wrote that. Because he said to them, I mean, he didn't say this, but I mean, Paul prayed that you guys would be rooted and grounded in love. And you guys got your theology down. But you know what, guys? You've lost your first love. So it's not enough that the apostle prayed for them. It's not enough even if they prayed for them. At the end of the day, they had to do something about it too. And let me ask you something. What is your life with God based on? What are the relationships around you built on? Do you have a stream of broken relationships in the past? What is your attitude toward His commandments? Not just now, but in the steadfast aspect of it. You know what I mean? In the longevity of our life. And we're like ships, man. We got to set the sails in a particular direction, and we'll never get there unless we set the sails that way. And unless we own up to it and say, man, I'm failing, and I need to be wise and build a solid foundation, we just ain't going to get there. You know what I mean? I've wrestled with, in the last couple years, I've had to deal with, am I going to grow into a grumpy, old, bitter man? Like some of you? Just kidding. Am I going to grow into a old, grumpy, bitter man? Or is the foundation of my life going to be love? And people are going to see it. Not for people to see. Please understand that. Huh? I'm just saying that they're going to see the bitter for sure. And I want us as a church, but most of all as individuals, that we would find ourselves on our knees saying, Lord, oh man, I'm just so self-centered, and I don't want to be. I want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if I don't know you well, I want to get to know you well seriously. Number two, I want to love people as I get to know you, that you will give me a love for people, that just as you've forgiven me, you will forgive other people. And number three, I realize I'm not going to get there if I keep making excuses of your word and don't listen to it. And I want to love your word. And number four, Lord, please, let it be for the years, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Let it be a steadfast love that grows, a solid foundation in my life. Because at the end of the day, if we're not wise and build, Jesus said that when the storms come, at the kebab place, the quality of the walls is going to be seen. When we're touched by affliction, when we're touched by people, all of a sudden, the hollowness of it is going to show. And I don't want that. Jesus gave too much for me to settle for appearances. And Loretta said something the other day. I'm finished. I think I might have said this at church. Loretta said this the other day, and she made me laugh. She says, you know, we were talking about feistiness, and, you know, I'm feisty, Loretta's feisty, we're all feisty to some degree. And But Loretta says, I'm really feisty. Not me, her. Please. No, she says, I'm really feisty, and I used to really wrestle with that because some people are just so sweet. I mean, you look at people like Heidi, and it's like we started calling her Saint Heidi, you know? It's just like, I mean, she's just so sweet disposition-wise, just personality-wise, character-wise. And Loretta was comparing herself, and she's like, I'm so not naturally like that. She's like, I'm just feisty. And she says that, she says, but the Lord spoke to me, and she says, well, at least I'm going to change you. I will change you. And we'll get there. And there'll be no doubt in anybody's mind that I did it. And I don't want to discourage. I'm not talking about personalities, but I am talking about, you know what? No matter who we are, He wants to make us loving people. Okay? Solid foundations. Let's pray. Father.